This is The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change our lives. I'll ask the questions, I'll let the book do the talking, using words from its own pages. This is essentially a book interview. Your time is valuable, so let's get started. Today, I'll be interviewing Living Untethered, Beyond the Human Predicament by Michael A. Singer. It currently has an overall rating of 4.8 on Amazon, and 87% of the reviewers call it a 5-star book. Question number one, what's the book about? Answer, this book will help you move beyond the thoughts, feelings, and habits that keep you stuck. You'll learn through your daily life to gradually let go of what is distracting your consciousness and to get rid of samskaras, impressions from your past that are blocking you. You'll learn to stay calm and centered no matter what, to free yourself in order to live each day in your highest energetic state. Question. You devote the first 5 chapters to the subject of self-identity. Why is the concept of self so fundamental in your teachings? Answer. We cannot be discussing anything more important. You have an intuitive sense of existence. You know that you're in there. Who is the conscious entity within? What are you really made of? The entire spiritual journey is not about finding yourself. It's realizing you are the self. You are the consciousness within. Even in a Judeo-Christian sense, if somebody asks whether they have a soul, the correct answer is, no, you don't have a soul. You in there, the conscious entity, are the soul. The truth is, you're a very great being made in the image of God, but to know that, you have to free yourself from all the inner commotion. Question. What do you mean by freeing myself from all the inner commotion? Answer. Spirituality is about being detached and at peace with whatever the heart and mind are doing, because your thoughts and emotions can make a lot of noise. The inner noise causes people to do all sorts of impulsive things. Some run around trying to have exciting experiences, find fulfilling relationships, or even take the edge off with drinking or drugs, all for the same reason. They're trying to stop the inner commotion and make it nice inside. Imagine walking into a house that has dirt, banana peels, and pizza crusts all over the place. It happens to be a beautiful house, but no one took care of it. This is the situation inside most of us. It can be beautiful again, but some work needs to be done. It can be beautiful in there, but something is messing it up. People are using the outside to fix the inside. Far better to find out why it's not nice inside to begin with. Once you learn to let go of the noise of personal thoughts and emotions, things will become clearer to you. The most meaningful questions regarding quality of life are not about what you own or what you do. They are about how you're doing inside. Most people would say, it's not always so nice in there. Question. But many people will also say, just give me financial freedom, or a dream job, or a great marriage, and I'll show you happiness. How do you respond to that? Answer. Okay, let's do an experiment. Imagine an all-powerful force asks you to write down all the things you need to happen for you to be totally happy. If you're like most people, you'll write down things like a mortgage-free house, a special relationship, a higher-paying job, and perhaps a year-long vacation to your favorite spots around the world. You're excited to turn in that list and get those wishes granted. Fine. You can have it all. But what if the spouse turns out to be a real jerk? And what if the high-paying job creates so much stress and worry that you're miserable? Or more commonly yet, what if the spouse and job turn out to be just fine, but not perfect? And you end up feeling not too different than you did before. Why did you even ask for those outer things? It was because you thought the marriage, or the job, or the travel, or whatever, was going to give you a beautiful experience inside. You really wanted happiness, joy, and a sense of total well-being. How about a constant inner state of love, beauty, and inspiration at the highest level you've ever experienced? Why didn't you ask for those things? Why not go directly to the root and say, what I want is every moment of every day to feel complete well-being and to feel as high as I've ever felt before and to be inspired by everything I do. Now there's a list. Let's turn that one in. The interesting result of our experiment is that it led us away from worldliness into the essence of spirituality. It isn't wrong to go to the world for what you think you want. It simply doesn't work. You're lost, thinking that the outside world has to be a certain way for you to be okay. This is the human predicament, and nothing is going to meaningfully change in your life until you learn to live from a deeper place. And this deeper place, in your book, is surrendering my resistance to reality. Does this mean I should just accept my problems, give up my ambitions, and just learn to go with the flow? Answer? You're not letting go of life. You're letting go of your personal reactions to life. Your personal reactions don't help you deal with situations in a constructive manner. They actually cloud your ability to make good decisions. If you let go of your reactions to a situation, and there's still something in front of you to deal with, then you have some work to do outside. If you lose your job and work with letting go of your negative reactions, that's good, but you still need to go out and look for a new job. All you are surrendering is your resistance to what is. Always do your best with what's in front of you in each interaction of your life, then let go. If you constantly let go, you will eventually achieve a state of perpetual presence. Once you get good at this, you will learn to do it throughout the day. Question. In the book, you repeatedly claim that relaxing and letting go is the cure for a lot of our inner problems. In fact, you say it actually fixes something within us, what you call samskaras, a term used over 100 times in the book. So what exactly is a samskara, and how does it affect our daily experience of life? Answer. To explain what a samskara is, let's look at the example of a flat screen TV. When the first plasma screens came out, they had after images. Manufacturers warned us that if we paused an image too long, it would actually burn a shadow of the image into the plasma screen. When the show continued, the old image would still be there. Would you enjoy watching TV like that? You've just finished the news, but when you turn on a movie, the after image of the newscaster is still superimposed on top of your movie. Well, that's exactly what is happening within your mind. You can no longer clearly see what is going on in front of you because you have these other images on the screen of your mind. You messed up your screen. These impressions that stay stuck in your mind are called samskaras in yogic science. The term samskara literally means impression. These impressions in the mind are formed by things that happen to you that you are not able to handle. When you store a samskara, it will not sit quietly inside of you. They block your flow of energy. And just like a dammed up river, these blockages you stored are obstructing the flow of your higher energy. You stored past disturbances in there, and it doesn't feel good. They're not comfortable staying inside of you, so you have to constantly insert your willpower to deal with all the inner commotion. Question. Can you give us an example of a samskara? Answer. Let's take an example very close to home for some people. Let's say you have an ex-husband and you think to yourself, I don't want to see him. I don't want to talk to that guy ever again. In fact, I don't like it when someone even mentions his name. This is not your objective memory talking. It's definitely a samskara. You say that you divorced your ex-husband, but did you? No, really you didn't. He's still inside bothering you. Samskaras come from things that you could not handle, so you didn't process them like a normal event. They turned into something more than a normal memory. Question. Why should we care so much about these samskaras? Answer. Because these stored patterns are going to determine where you go, what inspires you, who you marry, and whether you get divorced. You're not determining your path in life. They are. They are determining your present, and they will determine your future if you're not careful. It's hard to believe that your moods, attractions and repulsions are so dependent on your past, but it's true. Until you get centered and clear, it's just one mood after another as your energy shifts due to the stored patterns from your past. You're going to follow your thoughts and emotions throughout your life, and they are determined by your samskaras. Question. So let's agree we all have issues. How do we free ourselves from these samskaras? I mean, what do we actually do to clean up the mess inside? Answer. If you want to do something, here's what you do. Relax. Don't get pulled into your thoughts and emotions. If you don't get pulled into your thoughts and emotions, you can just relax and notice them at a distance. It's not about doing or not doing anything. It's about surrendering your initial resistance to what is. For example, in your everyday life, you'll be aware of times when your thoughts and emotions are shifting. When that happens, just relax and lean away. When you lean away from the noise, you're creating distance between you, the consciousness, and the objects of consciousness, your thoughts and emotions. In that distance, samskaras have room to release their energy. It's going to get uncomfortable. That's natural. The discomfort you're experiencing is the discomfort of samskaras being released. They were stored with pain, and they're going to release with pain if you let them. Question. But what if anger is justified and I need to speak up in a situation? Answer. The goal of this journey is not to change your thoughts or emotions. It's to stay in the seat of self while accepting these different shifts that are taking place. From this vantage point, emotions can change. You can notice them changing, but you don't go anywhere. You remain the one who notices the emotions, hears the thoughts, and looks out through the eyes. You can be a more conscious being. On the other hand, you can just lose it. Your shifting energy can be released in the form of anger, verbal or physical fighting, and other bursts of uncontrolled behavior. Not only is losing it unhealthy because of what you may say or do outside, but it also increases the probability of losing it again in the future. So the moment you see your energy shifting, here's what you do. Relax. You can just relax and notice. What you'll notice is that you're not always comfortable with what's happening inside. What is more, there's a tendency to want to willfully do something about it. That's very natural. You want to protect yourself from this inner turmoil and disturbance by getting rid of it. Don't do that. Just relax and notice. Question. So my inner work is just relaxing. Does that mean I don't need to explore any past traumas or even understand the origins of my deepest personal issues? Answer. It doesn't matter what happened. What matters is that your blocked past is keeping you from God and is keeping you from having a beautiful life. Each person's trapped mental patterns are unique and personal. Your past is uniquely yours. It happened. Try as you may, no one can make an event that has already happened not have happened. Your only choice is to accept the event or resist it. Question. So, to get my head around this philosophy, are you saying that inner discomfort can be a symptom of samskaras, and that experiencing this discomfort in a relaxed state can be the cure for samskaras? Answer. The world is the perfect place for your growth. It causes samskaras to come up on their own on a daily basis. And when they do, learn to let go. The deepest technique for freeing yourself of samskaras is generally termed witness consciousness. You are simply witnessing what's in there. You see the thoughts and emotions and keep them distinct at a distance from you. That's all we mean by witness consciousness. You just notice all the noise. Outside events cause stored patterns to come up. Good, let them come up. Things are going to happen in your daily life that hit your samskaras. If samskaras are in there, they're going to get hit. And when they do get hit, you will surely experience discomfort. The mind and emotions will make noise. That's not a problem. Just relax and lean away from the noise. Make this the most important thing in your life, because it is. It really is the only rational way to live your life. Question: how would you respond to those who would argue that you're suggesting, in effect, one should suppress or ignore their negative thoughts or emotions? Answer: you're not suppressing or ignoring your discomfort. You're not expressing it in your actions or your reactions. There's a sacred place between suppression and expression. It's pure experience. There's no game here. It's quite simple. This attitude of acceptance is very different from suppressing emotions and thoughts, or letting yourself get lost in them. You just learn to sit back, relax, and then experience the experience. You watch, you see, you observe, you stay detached. It doesn't take forceful practices to return to your core. Question: can you give a real-life example of relaxing and releasing these samskaras? I mean, what does it look like in an everyday life when we feel stressed out? Answer: imagine that somebody's talking to you and you're feeling strong and confident about the conversation. Suddenly, they say something and you start to feel your strength drop out from underneath you, or you feel alarmed or offended. If you're sincere, you use the situation for your growth. It's not the time to argue with the person. It's the time to grow spiritually. Calm and centered, you're perfectly aware that you're beginning to get upset before you actually get upset. You can feel it. You feel when something starts to bother you. If you want to grow spiritually, that's when you do the inner work. For example, let's say you're in a meeting at your job and they're discussing a project. You have a bright idea you want to contribute. So you put it out there and it gets shot down. Well, that hurts. Of course it does. Now, for the rest of the meeting, you either don't contribute anything because you're sulking, or you keep bringing up proof that what you said wasn't dumb. Your presence has become about you, not the project. You can't work like that. It has to be about serving what's happening in front of you. Always serve life as it unfolds in front of you. When stuff starts to come up, the second you feel that energy shift, relax. Don't even wait until you know what it's about. Just relax and let go. Relax and release. You can work with samskaras at the energetic level rather than the mental level. Always remember what's going on inside of you. You're in there, and something is happening that's causing the energy to shift inside. Your tendency is to push it away if you don't like it, or grab onto it if you do. Surrender means don't do that. That's all it means. You sit in the seat of consciousness when the energy shifts and you let it go. Question: do you believe in morning or evening rituals to help in this process? Answer: I suggest you put aside time daily to remind yourself who you are, and also to recall your commitment to cleaning up inside. Just establish the practice of recalling your intention every morning. Say to yourself, the purpose of my day is letting go of my blockages and evolving spiritually. Then every evening, remember, the purpose of my day was to let go of my blockages and evolve spiritually. Morning and evening practices will help you remember to do the work. If you do the work, the rest will happen by itself. A natural process will take place. Question: okay, but is there a way to build the skill of becoming more detached from our thoughts and emotions so that we can then be better at staying calm during the days? Answer: a time-honored technique for spiritual growth is meditation. In order to meditate, you have to let go of your traditional relationship with your mind and emotions. As you practice meditation, you'll find that your ability to let go during daily life is greatly enhanced. Eventually, you'll find that you remain clearer throughout the entire day. You're always aware of what's going on inside and outside. This clarity of presence is one of the gifts of meditation. Many of today's teachers say that to sit in meditation for 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening is a good starting point. What do you do during this time? just practice being present. The reason you meditate is to learn how to remain conscious inside while your mind creates thoughts and your heart creates emotions. This is called mindfulness meditation. If you do this practice on a regular basis, you're going to find that you're consciously aware during the day when your samskaras get hit. You'll be more able to relax and release by just being more aware. Question. What do you say to people who do these rituals, but then, when their energy shifts in real time, tend to get hijacked by the rising emotions? Answer. People will sometimes use a mantra technique to stay calm when they feel triggered. In the most general sense, mantra means training your mind to repeat a word or phrase to get it stuck in your mind. Then, when you're triggered, you'll repeat this mantra to stay calm and avoid getting sucked into all the drama. A mantra can help you stay centered. It can be a simple word like God, 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 or Allah, Allah, Allah. Or it can be a phrase such as all is well, all is well, all is well. If you do the work necessary to install a mantra in a layer of your mind, it will change your life. Question. Some people claim they're just too wired. They're more emotional or reactive than other people. Is it possible for everyone to follow your teachings? Answer. It comes down to the old adage, where there's a will, there's a way. Either you're working on yourself or you're not. The only question is, do you want to be free to live a deep, beautiful life more than you want to avoid discomfort? It's your choice. Living untethered means to let go of yourself. It means to transcend your personal self, as Buddha taught. It means to die to be reborn, as Christ taught. You can let go of your blockages if you really want to. You have willpower, and you can use it. Use your willpower to relax. Everyone is capable of freeing themselves if they're willing to do the inner work. Of course, it's not going to be easy to relax in the face of what you spent your entire life avoiding. You stored past disturbances in there. It doesn't feel good when they get stirred up. The problem is that since they were stored with pain, they're going to release with pain. Your only decision is, are you willing to let go or not? Question. On the subject of pain, you prepare the reader to expect discomfort during their inner work. You call it the positive energy of spiritual growth. Can you explain what you mean exactly by this pain and suffering? Answer. Remember, removing blockages is about spiritual purification. It's about cleaning out the inside so you can have a beautiful life both inside and out. If you relax and release back into your seat of consciousness, you are relaxing away from the part of you that's complaining. Eventually, you'll realize that the emotion itself is not the problem. The problem is that you're not able to handle the emotion. It doesn't take effort to notice your thoughts and emotions, but it takes effort to handle what you notice. It's not comfortable to live in that fire. You'll need to endure discomfort. This is where the depth of your commitment comes in. When you start to feel unsettled, you can see it as an opportunity to use your rising energy to get rid of the blockages. This energy is trying to release existing samskaras by pushing them out of the way. You can relax at such a deep level that you allow the blockages to pass without resistance. This involves using the rising energy as a positive force and allowing it to cleanse whatever was blocking it. If you can handle it, this is the pain that ends all pain. Question. What do you mean by the pain that ends all pain? Answer. Don't believe those who say you can't enjoy happiness unless you also know sadness. That is not true. That's what life is like if you're still blocked. Once you're unblocked, you'll notice the energy is always beautiful. It's an ever new rush of uplifting joy that raises your heart, your mind, and everything inside of you. When you're totally comfortable with everything that can come from your mind and your heart, thoughts and emotions will stop creating inner disturbance. In this state of clarity, there are no more moods. You will just relax into the quiet state of peaceful well-being. You'll be aware of the powerful flow of energy within. In different cultures, this energy within has been called different names, such as Shakti, Chi, or Spirit. When you cease to separate from this energy, it starts to pull you into it. Your path is to find it, go there, get in, and drown. Eventually, you'll realize that this energy wishes to express something so beautiful it will leave you breathless. And you will also know the peace that passeth understanding. Question: but doesn't spiritual growth require at least some degree of discomfort? Answer: if you just do the inner work, your highest energy will start flowing. As you grow spiritually, your range of comfort with the outside world will grow wider and wider, allowing you to handle more of the moments passing in front of you. Because of the work you have done on yourself, it'll be totally natural for you to let go during more challenging times. Don't wait for a terrible bomb to go off in your life to wonder what to do differently. You need to prepare yourself and do the work of releasing yourself and your samskaras during your everyday life. You'll then be able to handle anything life brings your way in the future. Question: do you have any final words of wisdom for someone who is not okay inside, but who is also willing to do the inner work to get a more spiritual life? Answer: a spiritual life is not about adhering to a given set of rules. It's about learning to let go of yourself. It's not about becoming a control freak in there. It's about learning to surrender. Just practice saying, "I'm the boss in here. This is my house. I'm the only one living in here, and I have the right to make it a nice place to live." Like anything else, these higher spiritual states take time, but if you just do the inner work, you will eventually see that when blocked patterns are gone, all that's left is the flow of spirit. The day will come when you won't even be able to relate to how you used to be. What is left is the most beautiful thing that could ever exist. You won't need anything. You are whole and complete within yourself. And you will know what Christ meant when he said, "I and my Father are one." Use everything to let go of what separates you from this God-realized state. Only by accepting reality first, letting go of yourself, and surrendering your resistance to what is, can you work with the flow of life and create a better world. And finally, here are my favorite quotes from the book, what I call wall hangers. "The most meaningful questions regarding quality of life are not about what you own or what you do. They're about how you're doing inside." "People are trying to use the outside to fix the inside. Far better to find out why it's not nice inside to begin with." "You're a very great being made in the image of God. But to know that, you have to free yourself from all the inner commotion." "Spirituality is about being at peace with whatever the heart and mind are doing." "There's a sacred place between suppression and expression. It's pure experience." "If you want to do something, here's what you do. Relax." "Just do the work of releasing samskaras during your everyday life, and you'll eventually be able to handle everything that life brings your way." "Always serve life as it unfolds in front of you." "Learn to sit back, relax, and experience the experience." "And finally, you don't have a soul. You in there are the soul." And that's it for this book interview with Living Untethered, Beyond the Human Predicament by Michael A. Singer. You've been listening to The Wealthy Bookheads, where we interview important books that can change our lives. You can order this book in the links below or on our website if you'd like to support our cause. It puts a few pennies in our pockets without taking any extra pennies from yours. As always, thank you for your time.